I can't ignore the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I will not. I had this scripture written in my notes twice. Opened something, and there it was again, and then this morning it was there again. So I'm going to share it. It doesn't really have to do with the message, except that it does. The message is about guilt. I'm going to expose the enemy. And you are going to get the tools that you need to smash him in the head.
Amen.
But I'm reading Psalm 1. It's very clear, Psalm 1, about who's blessed and who's not. Blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sit down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. If you are not daily reading and studying and meditating the Word of God, do it. It is your lifeline. It is the only thing that will keep you, especially, and we've been talking for 18, 19, 20 years about this. Something is coming. I think it's already here. It's already here, but that spirit of Antichrist needs a sock in the face. But I'm telling you, the enemy is working very hard to try to dissuade us believers from walking in what God has for us. So we need to habitually meditate, ponder, and study the Word of God. It's your life. It will give you what you need to overcome the enemies in your life. The enemy doesn't play fair. He has his own set of rules. But if you know what the rules are, according to the will of God and what the Word says, you can beat him every time. And here is the man that desires the law of the Lord and meditates. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. I'm just going to read, not so the wicked. I'm not going to read the rest of it, because we're not wicked in here, are we? But not so the wicked. So if somebody that you are with or contending with for the kingdom, whatever, you need to acknowledge the fact that they're wicked without Jesus. And so are we. We have to come into that understanding that it is only what Jesus has done that makes us righteous before God. Because the enemy will try to dissuade you from understanding the reality that you are righteous before God by trying to defend your own righteousness. You cannot. What you can say is, I'm a new creation. I'm not guilty because I am filled with the Holy Spirit, not because I'm good. Even Jesus himself said there's no man good, no, not one. So I'm going to give you some tools to win this war against guilt. It is one of the most devastating and debilitating spirits and enemies of our souls, because it can work in our souls. And it can cause us unrest, cause us to be dissuaded outside of what God has for us, if we listen to the voice of the accuser and the voice of condemnation. God gave me and started to work this in my life over a year ago and gave it to me at a very, very crucial time when I needed it, and he gave it to me. And now it's life to me, and I walk in it every day, and I refuse to allow the enemy any place. But I just want to give you a picture. In heaven, which is what we have to put our imagination on, in heaven, the reality of what's in heaven is there's a river that is flowing out from underneath the throne of God. That's the river that connects out of our innermost belly, out of our innermost being, flows rivers of living water. It's the same river. So the enemy will do whatever he can to stop and clog up the river and try to dam it up and just try to dissuade you from flowing, because there's a flow when you start moving in the spirit realm. There's a flow, and that's God. And it is a flow, and the enemy will try in any way he can, because he is a sneaky, whatever, Satan, that's his name, and he has a legion of demons that he has persuaded to follow him out of heaven, unfortunately. And they are here, and they are trying whatever way they can to stop us from walking in the full righteousness of God, the full power, the full miraculous understanding. God gave me a warning, and I have to admit that I didn't totally understand it and was not totally aware, but I am now. When we were having the yard done, I went out to do something. I forget. I was watering. I think I was watering one of the baskets, and I didn't have any shoes on, and it was dark, and I tripped. And I came this close to one of the huge stones that we have in our yard. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I immediately started repenting. Just immediately started repenting. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Do not walk on my hills." And this is my verse for right now, is I will walk on my high hills. The Lord will cause me to walk on my high hills. He said, "You do not come outside without your shoes on, without a light, without knowing where you're going, walking up terrain without understanding what it is to walk in that terrain." Because if I had asked the Lord, I would have put my shoes. You know, we're talking about the gospel shoes. You know, I see God everywhere. We're talking about the gospel shoes, talking about being covered. He stopped me from smashing my face, which I could have done. I had a glass in my hand. That could have broken. It didn't. None of those things happened because he did have the angels there helping me. And unfortunately, in January, I tumbled down the stairs because I had too many things in my hands. I didn't know the territory. It was new steps, new railing. I wasn't able to hold on to the railing. The tire light, what we have, was not on, just the light to the stairs. And I remember before I fell saying, "I wish I could see." And I looked down this. Now, see, I have progressive glasses. So it also has to do with having your focus sharp when you're looking at things, because I was looking through the bottom. And that's part of the reason why I misstepped. Also, because I had so much in my hand, I missed holding the railing. And I had all these things in my hand, which I dropped and tumbled down the stairs and ended up on my knee. And I have injured my knee. I have to tell you that I have labored over this before the Lord. And these are the things that he showed me. But I felt really guilty that I didn't listen to him. And I felt guilty that I hurt myself. But you know what? I went through 2 days of just prayer and fasting and standing before the Lord and asking for his instruction. He told me to do what the doctor said. And then I talked to my husband. He said, "Why aren't you doing what your doctor said?" So the mouth of two witnesses, the truth is established. So I am going through an orthopedist, and we will see what's going on. I've had 2 x-rays already, and I'm trusting God. He said, "I am healing you." He's singing in me. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." He's singing it in me. I'm not singing the song. So I know he's going to heal me, but it doesn't always happen miraculously. I want it to happen miraculously every time, but it doesn't. And we have to walk through. You know, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and there are many, many, many ways that God moves and does things. I just got an answer to something else that I have been crying out to God about, Elijah. I talked and shared this with you. God just answered, like a year, 2 years later, finally gave me the answer about resting and Elijah. And I have such peace about it. Because when it first started, I was just going like this. I didn't understand what he was trying to say. And I was in turmoil. You know, I was going to have surgery. The many things that were, I'm sharing with you from the reality of my life, that I'm walking in the same roads that you're walking and learning and growing even as you are. These are what's going on with me. I'm sure if you stood up here, you would tell a different story. But the point is, are we hearing God? I was outside weeding, and I felt the rebuke of the Lord and my husband. "Why are you weeding?" He said, "Oh, what are you in, you know, denial that you hurt your back?" So now I was just weeding like here and not bending down. But I did bend down. I hurt myself again. So who's the fool? Anyway, I was walking up the steps to throw the weeds away. It was a little bag. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm not punishing you. You know, I got set free in that moment because I was feeling punished. He said, I'm not punishing you. You just fell. You know what? You hear what I'm saying? It's not, God doesn't punish you because you fall. He pours the grace in and he gives you what you need to overcome and walk that next battle. Anyway, that's just my personal blah, blah, blah before I start me sharing this. I'm going to share a scripture from Proverbs 20:18. Actually, this Frances Frangipane wrote this. You know, I read many, many, many authors, and I am in the middle of so many books and so many places that God speaks besides the Word, of course. But Frances Frangipane is one of my favorite. And this other gentleman, a lot of what I got here, I got from him. His name is James Mahoney. And also Mark Verkler, who had given us a very outstanding model of how to hear from God. Pastor Royce shared on it. We went and heard him at TA, Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship many, many years ago. So this is a direct quote from Francis, Proverbs 20:18. Of course, this is the Word. Prepare plans by consultation. See, in the multitude of counsel is their safety. Make war by wise guidance. Wisdom must precede warfare. You need wisdom for the war and the battle that you're in. That's what I'm trying right now. And Pastor Roy, every week we're trying to teach you through the worship and through what God has shared with us to share with you so you can understand how to overcome the enemy and how to win the war against your soul, because there is a war. You cannot win this war. Jesus has already won the war, and by you standing in line and alignment, which is one of the things that he's talking to me about, because three of my vertebrae are out of alignment. One of them is out of alignment, like this. So I am praying that it would get realigned and asking the Lord. And, you know, again, it's not because I've done something wrong. I have a flesh body here that is subject to the rules and the regulations of this earth. When I come into the spirit realm and I bring that all up, there's healing and there's something else that happens. But every time I do it, there's more anointing. Every time I do it, there's more truth. Every time I do, if I live there and walk there, then I'm walking in all the time. That's what we're talking about, walking in the spirit. Okay. Wisdom must precede warfare, and virtue must precede victory. The Word of God says that the pure in heart shall see God. You every day have to come into the place to ask the Lord to keep you pure, because we are in a fallen world and we need to do that battle and become pure in everything. Simple childlike purity in every part of our lives. That's a work of the Lord. So that virtue of God, you have to allow it to enter into you and change you. You can't change yourself. But God, when you're in his presence, no matter how you're feeling, he is doing something. When you turn to him and say, Jesus, help me. And that virtue is the presence of the Lord. It's the being of Christ that's in you. That the more that you feed, it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And your flesh will die. Because your flesh, when it goes to the cross, it dies. Did you know that? If you start thrashing and you don't go to the cross, it's going to be alive. So, consider carefulness to be the essence of the victory. So carefulness, care. It's like he's telling me, walk with care, Marie. Watch where you're going. That's what he's been telling me. So I go up and down the stairs, holding onto the railing. I don't go up and down anywhere. And I am in a place of rest again. He's just telling me I have to, because I have to be in a place of rest to hear what he has to say. We do. We all do. So these are just flashes. Put your armor on. Put on the armor of light. Keep short accounts. Forgive always. Be watchful. Be prepared. Worship. focus, read your Bible, pray, keep yourself in the love of God, journal, meditate, be quiet before the king, ponder, feel God's love, joy, and peace. Deal with your own heart before God. Let him take control. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Repent of known sin. The remedy for guilt, which is the enemy of our souls, the remedy for guilt is to smash the tower of lies that the enemy is building or trying to build in you or around you. He tries to kill us with accusation and condemnation. And he will build a tower if you will listen. He can build a tower anyway. But say you can go like this with the sword and knock it down. So why is it so easy for us to fall prey to this enemy? The reason why is because we have a soul realm and he moves in the soul realm with his accusation and condemnation. So the answer is, first of all, if we're sinning, we need to repent. I'm going to be dealing with sin here, but I'm more dealing with guilt. I'm assuming that all of you are keeping short accounts. I'm assuming that all of you are repenting before the Lord. I'm assuming that you are all keeping your slates clean. And even if you are in sin, that you are crying out to God, which is all you have to do for deliverance and healing. In Genesis 3, there's an account of the fall of Adam and Eve. Okay, I'm not going to go through all of it. I just want you to hear. And it took me a long time to hear this in my spirit. So just take it. If you don't understand it, even in your spirit realm, or even in your natural man, because I'm not speaking to your natural man, I'm speaking to your spirit man. Hear that the snake was cursed because of what he did. Okay? He lied to Adam and Eve. Well, he lied to Eve. She listened to him, and he was cursed when he was exposed. And as were Adam and Eve. Now, we come out from underneath the curse because of Christ. But the devil is still under a curse. And he's connected to the earth. So anything in you, in your flesh, that you're holding back, he has dominion over. Did you hear that? And he will ride it and try to drive a wedge in you until it's destroyed. Not just that, but everything else. That's what he does. So that's why you have to put your armor on. You have to know what the Word of God says so you can do battle with this enemy who is a liar and the father of lies. Okay. He said to Satan, now he was a snake and he was a wild creature. You know, we have this idea that in paradise there were no wild creatures. They were all nice, but they weren't. The snake was a wild creature. It says right in the scripture. Anyway. And he talked to Eve. I think that's also very significant that he did talk. It wasn't just a figment of Eve's imagination. So animals talked in the garden. I think that's pretty cool. So he talked to Eve and Eve listened to him. And what he did was he appealed to her intellect. He appealed to her mind. He said, if you eat from this tree of the knowledge of good, you will know. So what is our worst enemy, considering what's going on in the kingdom, is our intellect. It has to be brought into submission to the Lord. Now, it's not the only thing. Our emotions can run amok and be out of control, and that can also cause us to be outside of what God wants us to be. He's given us a mind. He's given us emotions, but our new creation, which moves in the fruit of the Spirit, is what we're looking for. So if you're out of control and you have fits of rage and anger or cursing or whatever it is that you're dealing with, you have to acknowledge that that's a sin and you're not going to do, you don't want to do that. And you repent before the Lord, and then the enemy has no place. You can't sit on it because you've repented. Do you understand that? I know you do. Okay. God said to the serpent, there was a lot of other things, but this is the main thing for guilt. He said to the serpent, he, meaning Jesus, will crush your head. And you, the snake, will bruise his heel. So there's and in some portions of scripture in some translations, it says the same word. It says bruise and bruise, crush and crush. I desire to look at it that the enemy will be crushed. And Jesus, yes, was bruised. He was bruised on the cross, wasn't he? That's the bruising. And he talks about bruising his heel. This is the key verse concerning overcoming guilt and understanding how it can easily come into our lives. We are vulnerable in our flesh. Satan thrives and lives as he eats our dust. Dust, we are made from dust. So he likes to eat our dust. So, I mean, sometimes you get on that motorcycle and let him eat your dust and you're gone. In the spirit realm. Let him have an accident behind you. So he will attack us in these areas and will continue until he gains access, which I did share. Our bodies are also subject to Satan because of this earth. Until we are totally dead, we're going to be dealing with this. Now, there are things we can do. We are going to get older and we are going to get hurt and things are going to happen and we're going to, oh my God, and it's not a punishment. It's just the natural way that your body goes. You're going to die. Your body is dying every day. There are things that are going to happen to it. But you can walk in the newness of life. You can walk with grace in it. You don't have to, you know, end up in the hospital dead. You can walk. You can get help. God has blessed us with a lot of doctors who know what they're doing. They can help us. So, first of all, you sin, you have a problem, and then the enemy comes with accusation. And that's the way, that is the guilt. It's the accusation and the condemnation that he pours on us. He wants to keep us walking in our old ways, even the smallest measure, so that he can continue to control us and keep us from overcoming. See, now my back hurts. I say, God is not punishing me. God is healing me. I fell down, and I'm in the process of receiving his grace and mercy so that I can walk without pain. See, having pain in your body or your soul or your mind, somewhere in your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, that's a trigger that's a pretty good indication that there's something not right. When you get delivered from guilt, which I'm knowing is going to happen today, and it'll continue, and you'll have a week of God moving, and hopefully next week it'll be good. If not, it may take some of you a little longer to really get delivered from this. It's something that you have to really look at, engage in, and say no. He's like a wedge. He wants to come in with that little thing and just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and until he has the biggest space that he could possibly have in that situation, and then he'll start affecting other parts of your life. So you have to get the wedge out. The truth is that the snake has been smashed by Jesus. Jesus took a beating. He was whipped for our infirmities. He was bruised for our iniquities. That bruise that Jesus took, that wounding that he took, was for our iniquities. So we don't have to walk in it. They don't have to control us. They don't have to have power over us. We can overcome them because Jesus smashed the enemy. Now, the enemy was able to bruise his heel. That's what it's talked about with Jesus on the cross. He was able to bruise his heel because Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And his flesh and blood body is what went on that cross. He was in the flesh, even though he was also walking with the Spirit. In the Spirit, he was not walking in his divinity. And I know we've talked about this because this is the truth. This is a key for you to turn and unlock into the kingdom that you can overcome anything because the Holy Spirit is in you. You can overcome anything because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit was in Jesus. He walked and depended on Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our guide and our helper. So, Jesus took a beating for us, but the snake can bruise us in the soul realm because we are vulnerable in areas that, as the word has spoken, it's what the word says. But when we apply the truth, we overcome. And believe me, when God opens up an area and says, this is not right here, I'm going to deal with this, it's going to be painful. And you will be thrashing for a little bit before you thrive. Because you want what your flesh wants. That's the battle and the war between the flesh and the spirit. So you have to actively speak in a willing place, and there is a will in your spirit realm, in your spirit man, to say, I'm not doing this anymore. I am not engaging in this thinking anymore. I am not going to this place anymore. I am not going to act out this behavior anymore. And you may still act out the behavior, but you are already beginning to prophetically speak and declare, because the testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy, the reality that you will be out of this because of the blood. Because of the blood. The blood of Jesus is what led captivity captive. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent of our sins, offer ourselves a living sacrifice, submitting to him, and we will gain complete victory. We allow our new creations, our inner man, the secret place that abides under his shadow. I shared with you how God pulled up something out of me that had to do with my sin nature. It wasn't even anything I was acting on anymore. But he, when I was in that secret place with him, just came down and pulled this thing out of me. And I'm different. So it's what God wants you to do. He wants you to deal with these issues that you are struggling with every day. He wants to come in and be the rescue. He wants to be Superman. All these little kids and big kids and men, and they're all consumed with supernatural thises and thats and heroes. I remember watching Heroes and getting all excited. My grandson, I mean, they want to be heroes. They want to have supernatural power. Even Harry Potter, although I'm not an advocate of Harry Potter, but Harry Potter does magic. He's like, you know, this amazing whatever. I don't even know what he does. But the woman that wrote the whole book series is a Christian. So there's something in there. You know, sometimes you want to know, what is God doing? Look at the world. What are they doing? And God will speak to you about what he's doing in us and what he's declaring to the world. So we want to be supernatural, not supermen or superwomen. We want to be supernatural men and women, right? And we can, because we serve a supernatural God. It's like Jesus Christ, when we're born again, he came inside of us and took up residence. But, you know, sometimes we're bigger than he is, right? We think that we can take care of these things. And we can. And he will not let you. So you're struggling with something and you're not overcoming it. I was listening to this teacher yesterday. The guy said, if you're praying prayers and they're not being answered, maybe you need to pray something different. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, wait a minute. I'm beating my head up against this wall. Maybe I need the other wall. Anyway, it was very enlightening. The accuser's desire, very simply, with guilt. His attempt is to malign your concept of access and acceptance before God as a born-again Christian. God the Father accepts us with the same level of fervency that he accepted his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to identify guilt because we have a lot of emotions. And emotions are not bad. They're just triggers. They just tell you something's going on. You really need to be in control of them. That's what the Spirit of God is speaking over with his fruit. That you know, you can be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, he knows who you are. There are also emotions in the Spirit. So guilt is not in the Spirit. A general feeling of unworthiness about the weak areas of our lives. That's what I was feeling. Oh, my God, I fell on the hill, and then I fell down the stairs, and now I'm hurt, and I can't do what I want to do, and all. And he very clearly told me, I'm not punishing you. So once you come out of that, I'm not punishing you, then okay, Lord, what are you doing? What are you speaking to me? What are you showing me? What do I need to learn here about your spirit realm? God didn't make me fall, you understand? Something I did. But he was there to catch me that I didn't break my leg or break my kneecap or all these other things that could have happened. It could have been much, much worse. I know the angels were there. But I do have to look at this and ask God to show me what he wants to do. Guilt is also a feeling of being put down in the area of our self-worth. Christians are wonderful at this. I was so down on my case when I first got saved because I was a wicked sinner. And it took a long time for me to pick my head up after many, like it was a year. I was up on the altar every week crying and sobbing before the Lord. And one day the Lord finally showed me, pick your head up, Marie. I love you. I love you, and I'm healing you of all of that. That's not who you are anymore. That's not where you live anymore. And then a whole different thing started to move in me. And it was an understanding through the Word of who I was and who I wasn't anymore and who I needed to bring to the cross, that part of me. Guilt is triggered through unhealthy introspection. Introspection, you want to be a fruit inspector of your own life. It's not healthy to do that. It's not healthy to do that. It's better to sit before the King and let him open up whatever it is he wants to do. And if he opens something up, he'll give you the answer to it. Amen. He opens up, I don't like the look of that. Oh, worship you, Lord. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I didn't know I was moving in that. Okay. And then he'll provide a way out. He always does. He always provides a way out. I'll give you a very, very short something you can look at. I have, I did share the story about my neighbor and the weeds on the back, four, I call it. The weeds are back, and I can't go down there and pick them because of my back. I can't bend down and do it, So I felt bad. Pastor Roy and I talked about it. I said, well, I'm going to just have to, wait until I'm healed, and then I'll go do it, and Forrest will have to deal with the weeds. So I'm praying about it. See, this, I pray about everything. I'm praying about it. I'm like, that day I said, I'm not going to do it. I just decided I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to think about it either. I'm not going to be hassling about whether or not it's done. I'm not going to think about it. See, because don't we sometimes make a decision about something and then we worry and hassle forever about it on top? So that's not really what God is looking for either. He wants us to make a decision and leave it. And you have a will in your spirit that you make decisions about, and then you begin to move and you have conviction on certain things. Anyway, I get up from my prayer time, walking around, whatever. My son Ben calls. He says, all right, would it be okay if I come over today and get those steppers behind the house there that Dad offered me? I said, yeah, sure. Oh, what time are you coming? Oh, well, he gives me time. Meanwhile, I'm in the spirit. I didn't even shower. I'm like, just sat right down and spent time with the Lord. And then I hear the Holy Spirit goes, you better go get in the shower. Ben's going to come earlier. So I get up to shower, and he calls me and says he's coming earlier. So I'm in the shower. While I'm in the shower, I'm thinking, well, maybe I can ask Ben to pull the weeds out. It won't take him 15 minutes. But then my mind kept going, oh, you're going to manipulate your son? This is what the enemy, oh, you're going to manipulate your son because he's coming. He's going to be right there. He's going to do it. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. These are all the thoughts that, right? I'm same as you. I said, no. Well, maybe I'll just ask him. Well, he's working. He's hired somebody to come with him that was bringing the truck. I said, I'm not even going to ask him. I let it go. I said, I'm not going to ask him. So he comes. He's tying back the sticker bush so he can go down and get the steppers. And it's right there where all the weeds are. So I looked at him. I said, I'm going to pull these weeds because it's right here and you're pulling, the sticker bushes away so I can jump down, and I can't jump down, but I can let myself down and be standing up, and I'll just, only take me 5 minutes. So Ben goes, I'll do it for you, Mom. I said, well, only take me 5 minutes. It really wasn't a big deal. It was just getting there. And he said, I'll take me 10 minutes. He goes, well, it'll take me five. So I looked at him, and this is what I said. You came here to get those steppers, and you hired this guy to help you with the steppers. You don't have to do my weeding. It's okay. I'm right here. I can just do it. So no manipulation. I wasn't forcing him. I wasn't making it. You understand? In my thinking. So I get down very gingerly, and I'm pulling the weeds, and he's getting the steps with the kid, back and forth, back and forth. And I'm talking to him about different things, you know. I get to a certain point, and I realize I can't go any further. So I said, you know what, Ben? And he was finished. He said, you know, I said, I may have to take you up on that. I can't, you know. Oh, you have to, all you have to do is hop up there, you know. He's not, he didn't hear what I said. So I said, well, I can't hop up anywhere and bend down anywhere right now. I said, because I hurt my back. He said, oh, I'll do it, with the biggest smile on his face. But you see, I didn't manipulate him. I didn't try to make him do it. I didn't push him. I just asked him. And Doug, this other kid, came over, and the two of them, I mean, it didn't take 5 minutes, pulled the rest of the weeds out. And Forrest came out and said, oh, who's over there? What are you doing? So I was able to talk to Forrest for a minute. But see, you have to choose. I had to choose as I went through God. I had to choose God. I had to choose, okay, I don't have to do it, but I want it. You don't understand? It's like I want to do it, but I can't do it. I can't do it. So some of these things that are in, you have to choose as you go along the road, and God will do it. He will. He'll take care of it for you. So my back four is weeded. All right. The only way, oh, I'm going to share just real quickly a few ways that we try to overcome our own guilt. One way is by continually sinning over and over and over again. Now that sounds funny, but after a while the sting doesn't work anymore, does it? And you just keep sinning and you're not even aware that you're sinning. You just keep doing it. And you feel guilty, well, it doesn't matter, I'm just doing it. This, that cycle of sin. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Holy Spirit distinctly declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared, cauterized with a hot iron. Samson is one of those. He didn't even know that the Holy Spirit had left him. He was so in sin. He wasn't even supposed to be with Delilah. There he is with Delilah, doesn't even understand, tells her, finally tells her, he gets worn down by the sinner that he allowed in his life, and he ends up telling her what his secret is. She calls the Philistines, and he doesn't even know that the Holy Spirit was gone. He jumps up, even though his hair was cut, and thinking that he was totally, and you know, talk about being cauterized by a hot poker. I mean, what happened to him? He's got his eyes poked out. Listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking in the Word to us about things that we are involved in. And he's given us examples. So don't get your eyes cauterized, poked out. Don't be Samson. Repent. If you're caught in a perpetual cycle of sin, if that's what it is, stop it. Take a step and do something different. I don't care if it's just a little step that will turn the enemy away and turn the Lord and keep doing the step. Keep stepping. The other thing that we try to do is we blame everybody else. This was the famous in the garden. This is what they did in the garden. When God said, where are you? Well, we're hiding. We're hiding in the garden. And then, of course, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the wild snake. We are all responsible, and I've studied this. I studied this through many situations with my own parents and with my own kids. You know, the fathers eat sour grapes, and then it falls down, but that's not God. God doesn't even like that, and that's not even who he is. Every man has to live and die for his own sin. Did you hear me? Every person has to take responsibility for their own sin, repent of it, their own guilt, and repent and fall into the arms of the Lord Jesus. If you didn't have the greatest parents, well, so what? If your children are disobedient, you better do something about it. If your pastor fell, well, forgive him and move on. If you've been in sin and it's fallen on your kids, you need to release them into the Holy Spirit. You need to repent for your own sin and release your children into the Holy Spirit and pray for them. Whatever it is that God shows you, maybe, you know, we're not conscious parents. I made a lot of mistakes. And as God shows me, I repent and I pray. I said, release my children from that mistake and show them who you are in the truth. And you know, he does. I see it. And he goes, see, Marie, that was from your prayer. You see that? Ben got married. I'm not taking responsibility for him not getting married, but he's doing really awesome right now. He's doing awesome. So we don't want to be blaming others. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the A verse. The Abeka teaching of scripture. Oh, my kids memorized every one of those verses and still know them, and now Sarah's teaching them to her girls, her kids. Jeremiah 31:30, everyone shall die for his own iniquity. The other thing that we try to do is we're trying to rationalize it. Oh, everybody's doing it, you know. Your kids, oh, everybody's going. I don't care, you're not going. As a parent. But we rationalize our sin, don't we? Oh, it's okay. I can have 4 pieces of cake. I just won't eat dinner. Whatever it is that you're doing. You can't talk to guilt. You need to repent of your sin and then command it to go, because it has to go. But you have to know that it has to go. Okay. The truth of our deliverance is when we deal in a healthy way with sin and guilt. That we see sin as God sees it, with a holy hatred. Now, if you're sitting, I'm telling you right now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, so-and-so should be here listening to this, whatever, you're in error. Because this message is for those of you who are here. I dealt with some of the situations of some of the other people who aren't here, unfortunately, but they heard it. They've already heard it. And God is faithful to bring deliverance and healing to those who listen and obey him. Psalm 32, I love this verse. I think I have gone through this verse hundreds of times in my own life. 1-5. Blessed is he who has forgiveness of his transgression continually exercised upon him, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silence before I confessed, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand of displeasure was heavy upon me. Moisture was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, continually unfolding the past until all is told. Some of you are still struggling with things that happened in the past. If you're sitting with the presence of the King and something comes up, let him deal with it. Don't try to pretend it's not there, and don't try to make it okay. Because if you recognize that it's sin, because you know what the Word of God says about certain things, just repent. Let God wash it. That's what he does. He comes in with the washing of the water by the Word. That water needs to be washed every day. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You instantly forgave me the guilt and iniquity of my sin. There is a difference between iniquity and sin. Iniquity is a bend in a certain direction. Let's say you took drugs, or you were an overeater. You have a bend towards addictive personality, addictive behavior. You can repent of that iniquity, and God can take it away so you no longer have that bend. But if you're aware that you have that bend, don't go in the bakery. Don't, if you were an alcoholic, don't go to a bar. I mean, it's not rocket science. You instantly forgave me the guilt and the iniquity of my sin. For this forgiveness, let everyone who is godly pray. Pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely when the great waters of trial overflow, they shall not reach the spirit in him. Surely when the great waters of trial shall overflow, they will not reach the spirit in him. When we are forgiven and guilt has been disarmed, there's a great joy that wells up within us. There's a sense of lightness, a sense of belonging, a sense of I'm forgiven, I'm loved. Truth sets us free after we've confessed our sins. Our salvation crushes. He, Jesus, crushes the controlling, hampering sense of guilt that can plague us. We no longer are bogged down by the past. Guilt is a bruise designed to crush and to break. Here is the bruising of the heel. The heel is the very vulnerable place, and it's the bottommost part of our attachment to the earth. He bites our heels through accusation and condemnation. He desires to trip up our walk. That is why I'm reading from Habakkuk 3 and declaring over my own life. Habakkuk 3 is also in Psalm 18, which I'm praying for somebody else, that I will walk upon my high hills. You will make my feet like hinds' feet. You will set me upon my high places. I will be an overcomer. We were talking on Friday night about where would we be without Jesus. I would be dead. Definitely be dead. Satan wants to destroy your walk with Christ through accusation, bruising your heels. He tries to tell us lies about the character of God and his forgiveness so that we do not believe in his love and forgiveness of our sin. Then we feel guilty and take our eyes off Jesus. Satan desires to impede our walk, slow us down, bruise our heels. But in Jesus Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved, set free. My favorite, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you can declare and say, I am in Christ Jesus, therefore I will not be condemned. Therefore I will not listen to this accusation. Also need to agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way. If he's telling you, you hate your sister, you better say, I do hate my sister. It's not a lie, but I have forgiven her and I've made a choice to be open to reconciliation as you direct. I will also not be put in a position to give the enemy a stronghold or a foothold or a toehold in my life in Christ because someone else has chosen to be wicked. That's not where I am going. And I will guard my life, I will guard my home, I will guard my children against wickedness. I will not allow wickedness in my home. The promise of God is that we can be freed from consequences and punishments of indwelling sin. In other words, a lifestyle of habitual rebellion against God's ways. That's the sin. He promises through his blood that we can be free by continuing to submit ourselves to Jesus, to be in Christ and walk according to his ways through the help of our helper, Holy Spirit. Romans 2:8-2, for the law of the spirit of life, there is a spirit of life. There's a life and godliness that comes from the Lord. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. I have lived here for years. Set me free from the law of sin and death. I do not have to walk in sin and iniquity because the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I apply it to every temptation, every area, everything. I actively make choices to do or not to do things, so that if I choose, the enemy has no place. If you're in Christ, the Lord has made a covenant, a binding agreement, to keep you in his love. He is trustworthy. I taught a number of weeks ago about the character of God, the seven characteristics. The first one is compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed them all. That's who Jesus is. That's who God is. Compassionate, gracious, loving, slow to anger, full of mercy, truthful. He's promised that he would put right his laws into our hearts and minds, and that our sins and lawless deeds he will never remember again. If anybody's picking up mud and slinging it at you, it's not Jesus about something you did yesterday, if you repented of it, because it's dead to him. He doesn't go fishing. He doesn't go fishing. It's dead. I mean, we have a lot of trouble in our natural minds receiving that. But that's because we're moving in our natural minds. We need to move in the spirit realm where Jesus lives and forgives. His blood. 1 John 3:20-22. He also promised to let us know how to please him. Being a God pleaser is a good thing to pray for. Lord, I want to be a God pleaser. Lord, I want to please you. Show me what I can do to please you. He promises to show us. 1 John 3:20-22. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. If our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Helen came running up this morning and she gave me this Holy Spirit from my shoulder. I was thinking about Pastor Roy. He said, you know, the Holy Dove is on your shoulder. So I put it on my shoulder. She gave it to me for my birthday. It's the dove. If we remember that, I think our behavior would be very different sometimes. If we could remember that the Holy Spirit is there. Even when I'm in the process of consciously maybe making a choice to do something that's detrimental to my health, I choose to focus my attention on the Lord. I said, you know, this is not going to be pleasing to you. This is not what you want from me. I'm not going to do this. Give me the strength. Hebrews 10:16-23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Those of you who are depressed about what you have not overcome, you need to rejoice over what you have. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:16-23. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:1. He did this for us. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That's us. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah 53:10. Jesus provided a way for all of us to come back to him. Bruisings and crushings. This is how the serpent's head was smashed. Jesus willingly chose to be beaten and put to death to provide a ransom for many. It's noted in Matthew 20:28, Mark 10:45. He opened the way for us to be reunited with Abba Father. We have to trust and hope in the Lord. Hope is a joyful, confident expectation that God is who he says he is. And he's going to do what he says he's going to do. I just want to share some of you that may be weary and waiting. Think about Abraham. 75 years old. God told him he was going to be the father of many nations. Nothing happened. 10 years later, he still has no children. His wife says, oh, go into Hagar. Created a huge mess. God doesn't want you to do your own thing. He wants you to do what he tells you to do. 25 years later, 100 years old the guy is, he has a son. And then even think about, that's a long time. And then even think about it. 12 years later, God told them to go up and sacrifice Isaac. What? You know, Abraham didn't even flinch. He took up the sticks, went up there, because he believed so much in the resurrection, he believed that his son would be resurrected because he trusted in the promise of God. But it took a long time, didn't it? I have a daughter who's deaf. I'm still waiting. But in the middle of my waiting and my crying out to God, she is an amazing woman. Not because of me, but because of God. She has overcome. So I have a choice. I can focus on the fact that she's still deaf, or I can focus on the fact that God has done all of these amazing other things in her life and what she's overcome. None of you really know what Sarah has overcome. Only a mother knows what their child has overcome. Sarah has overcome above and beyond 150, 200%. I'll just share, she is a Beachbody coach. When she was younger, she could not do anything physically. I don't think she would mind me sharing this, but she tried. She went to track and field. She was always the last person. She tried to do the cross country. And she would say, don't come to the meet, Mom. I'm going to be there like 3 hours after everybody else. But I would go anyway. And then I would, yay, Sarah, when she got it. Now, that's something that she needed to overcome in her life. And look at her. She's a beach body coach. She's in perfect shape. She turns and faces you forward. You don't even know that she's pregnant, except that the baby's there. I mean, she looks amazing, and she's making money at it, too. So she's paying off her student loans. That's what God is doing. That's what he does. I remember when her and I and Ariel decided, and actually I took 2 courses on gluttony because I had to overcome overeating and went through 2 Christian courses online. Then I said to the girls, why don't we keep each other accountable for what we're eating? And we started sending emails about what we're eating. Now listen to this. And then Ben gets in it on it. He wants to be in on it. So Ben starts. Ben started writing down what he eats, and it was hysterical because there was absolutely no vegetables and no fruits in his diet. He was eating chicken and spaghetti every night, and ice cream and donuts and bagels and everything. And Sarah and Ariel and I were like, Ben, what are you doing? Ben now eats amazing. He went to the gym. He got everything all in shape. He went to a trainer. He got his body. Now he's working outside in the yard. Elaine told me, oh, he's getting a six-pack now. But you see, it was a turn. And you know what? I did turn first. I did. I turned because I was in sin. I was not doing things well there. So I repented and started to, but they took it way beyond me. I mean, they're doing it, and Ariel's doing amazing. She gains like 1 pound a month with this pregnancy. God is just doing wonderful things. That's who he is. When you just take one little step, he will move in and go above and beyond. Okay, I'm closing up here. 1 Timothy 1. I'm going to speak this over you. Now to the King of eternity, incorruptible and immortal, invisible, the only God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever to the ages of ages. Amen. This charge and admission I commit and trust to you, RCF members. Paul was writing to Timothy. In accordance with the prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare. I started off this message by telling you that you have to wage a warfare against the enemy. You are in a war against the enemy. And you must walk in wisdom. The way that you receive wisdom is by reading and memorizing and meditating and praying and contemplating, all of those things that I started off with. So that inspired and aided by them, by the prophetic intimations, by the reward, by the ward, by the charge, by the word, by the reality, Pastor Roy and I are praying for you. You may wage the good warfare, holding fast to faith. Beginning of this message, the Holy Spirit said, the leaning of the entire personality on God. I said, Lord, what is that? I knew it was in the Amplified somewhere. I didn't know what it was talking about. I asked Pastor Roy, he Googled it. I couldn't find it. And then I said, I know where that is, and I found it. Here it is. And it's the definition of faith. The leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. And having a good, clear conscience. So, Father, we want to have that faith. I pray right now that you would impart to your people here at RCF a greater understanding, a greater knowing, a greater intimacy with you, that they would learn to repent quickly, confess their faults, and move back into grace quickly, that there will be no time lapse, there will be no valleys of regret. I pray, Father, that this message would be seared on their hearts. Holy Spirit, you would seal it into our hearts, that we would no longer be tormented or plagued by guilt over our sin. That we would no longer be tormented by accusation and condemnation in those weak areas of our lives that we don't quite have together. I thank you, Father, that we are in motion, that we are walking in the Spirit, that we're moving with the Lamb, and that we are not yet perfect, and we will not be until we meet you in the air or die and go to heaven. Then our bodies will be perfected. In the meantime, Lord, we offer up all that is not right with us and all that is right with us, and we trust you with our lives. And I take authority over guilt and condemnation and the accuser of the brethren. I command those lying lips to be put to silence. In Jesus' name, 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 amen. I do want to give you a few minutes sitting there. I asked Pastor Roy to sing this song, Have Mercy on Me, according to your unfailing love, to just a few minutes to let God deal with something that he may have pointed out to you.